Well, I think you'd agree that if you look around, it's beginning a lot. It's beginning a lot to look like Christmas, and just want to thank Stephanie and her decorating crew that were here the other day, and all that they've done to sort of make it look a little more festive. So we're just thankful for that. So. What is wonder? What is wonder? By definition, wonder means to feel admiration and amazement. It's to marvel. It's to be astonished. It's to stand in awe. It's to be dumbfounded. Now, I think you would agree with me on this, that the cause or source of wonder can vary from person to person. There's certainly things that trigger the wonder that we experience. Say the word wonder and many things will come to your mind. Our minds may travel through time and space. And for some of us, when we think of the word wonder, immediately we think of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Our minds are drawn to things like pyramids and hanging gardens. Majestic statues, and for some of you, if we were on Jeopardy right now, you could probably name all seven of the ancient wonders of the world. Maybe for some of you, you might come up into the more modern times. You think of the Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil, things like the Taj Mahal, the Great Wall of China, things that just seem to look and we see them, and one of the things that always seems to come up is the wonder is, how did they ever make that? Then we can look at the wonders of the natural world. We can look at things like Mount Everest, Victoria Falls, the Grand Canyon. Oh, there's probably different places that your mind is drawn to. I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about all these things of the ancient world and the modern world that is man-made, the natural things that God has made, you know, but there's many things that make you wonder. Every week, my wife says, you just make me wonder, you know. Now, that might be a different definition, but it's there. For some of you, it would be men, it would be looking at a certain car and wondering, how do they get all that horsepower into that engine, you know? For some of you, it would be painting, and some of you took part in that last night. And I know that when my wife and my daughter came home with their pictures, I looked at it and I said, wow. I said, you know, I wonder how they could possibly do that in such a short time and through the instruction. It was quite well done. And not being an artist by any stretch of imagination just increases my wonder when it comes to that sort of thing. But again, this word wonder calls for a reaction. It calls for a response. Oftentimes, wonder is a thing that produces what we call the wow factor. It's just like we're just blown away. It's like we take a step back. The first Christmas was surrounded. It certainly was surrounded by wonder. Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, we see the account where he's wondering how he and his elderly wife could give birth to the forerunner to the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, again, as we go further, Mary wondered how it was possible for a virgin to give birth to a baby. The shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. It was just a normal night. At least it started out that way. But they wondered about the angels that appeared in the sky and what their message meant. They wondered and they investigated. Those in Bethlehem then would wonder about the story that the shepherds were spreading throughout the village and what they had seen at the manger. They'd seen the birth of Jesus, and they went and they couldn't help but tell others. And people were wondering, aren't these just these everyday shepherds? What are they talking about? There was a level of wonder that was raised. Mary wondered about everything that was happening at the birth of her baby. Simeon wondered at the blessing of being able, before he died, to see the child, the Messiah. Mary and Joseph marveled at the words prophesied by Simeon about their baby, Jesus. People in the temple that day no doubt wondered about the words of the prophetess, Anna, who spoke about the redemption to come through the baby, Jesus. And so this morning, we are about to start a four-week look at the wonder of Christmas. And I would ask you this morning, what is your wonder quotient when it comes to the birth of Jesus? I was talking to a pastor, a friend of mine, not too long ago. And he said to me, he says, so what are you speaking about at Christmas? And I said, well, there's a number of things that I'm thinking about. And I said, well, what about you? And he says, I don't know. He says, I've been 30 years in the ministry and I'm trying to find something new to talk about when it comes to the Christmas story. And I'd like to say this morning that sometimes we get so used to the Christmas story and you can tell it as good, if not better than I am, and you can walk through it. But I wonder if in this moment we need to be committed to renewing the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of the birth of our Savior. This is something that needs to be renewed and refreshed in our hearts and our minds. This past week, I read this little paragraph in the book. There are many things we can conclude about God from creation. Look at the immensity of this universe, and we can deduce that the God who created must be incredibly powerful. Look at its wonder and its beauty, and we can surmise that the mind that holds it together must be remarkable beyond all imagining. Listen to the conscience within you, and you can infer that the one who brought you into existence must be moral. But one thing we could never know about God from the created world is how much he loves us. This is what Christmas proves for us, that God cares about each of us personally and passionately. Christmas is wonderful. Just want to be sure you're here with me. Christmas is wonderful. But it's not wonderful because of all the caroling, which I enjoy, the partying, which I take part in, the giving of gifts, which you need to pray for me because it's not what I want, but I'm going to get into trouble when my wife goes, we go to wrap gifts and she says, what is this bag? But I enjoy the gift giving. I love the TV Christmas specials. I do. I enjoy all those. They are good. But the wonder of Christmas tells us that God loves us and has come among us. Because one of us became one of us in order that we would see the fullness of our Heavenly Father's love revealed in the life of his Son. That is the wonder that we need to see come alive in us. And so through these next 4 weeks, as we look at the wonder of Christmas, we're going to explore four elements of the Christmas story that will show us the wonder of God's great love for us. We're going to look at a star, a name, a manger, and a promise. But today we want to look back into Matthew chapter 2 that Donald read for us. And as we look at Matthew chapter 2, we see that we're beginning with the focus on the wonder by exploring the wonder of a star. The star was an announcement. It was an indicator. It was a sign that something was happening. Some of you might think of the word herald or heralded that we sing of. And heralded brings into us that image where we can think of something or someone who's being ushered in. So this morning we're looking and we're talking about a star that captured the attention of a group of wise men. Matthew starts off, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. What do we know about the wise men? Well, if you watch A Little Drummer Boy, you know that their names were Balthasar, Melchior, and Gaspar. Okay, you didn't have to watch A Little Drummer Boy. Legend has those names. But you know what, really when it comes down to it, there's not a lot that we know about these magi, these ones that we call the wise men. In all likelihood, they were not only from the east, but in all likelihood, there probably could be more than three of them. Why do we say there's three wise men? Because there were three gifts. It makes sense. We don't really see that in the narrative, but we can. Most people would say, okay, there was three wise men. But we don't know exactly where they were from. We don't know exactly what their numbers were. But we know this, that there was something that caught their attention that compelled them to go an incredible distance to find out what the star was pointing to. So I want to be sure this morning that when we look at the star this morning, you know, in one small way, I think that we can look and we can wonder at the star itself, but the wonder of the star is what it was pointing to. That is what the wonder of the star is. These men were likely from the area of Persia, modern-day Iran, well-educated, and most likely wealthy enough to make such a trip as the one that they would set out on. Bible scholars have many different views on the length of the trip and the length of time that they followed the star. It seems that some say it would range from 2 months to well over a year. But again, we know that it was a trip that would take them through some from difficult terrain through foreign lands. But they saw something and they were compelled to go check it out. The Magi, scholarly priest. Again, likely had all the material and wealth that they needed, yet there was something inside them that compelled them to follow the star. Something that compelled them to travel through these the incredible amount of miles. They saw the star, and they went looking for one who was born king of the Jews. David in Psalm 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." God's creation reflects his glory. And in this particular time and space, we see that God has this star that is being set over Bethlehem. God is speaking through his creation, and the brilliance of the star is drawing these foreigners to investigate. Some say that these men were astronomers or astrologers, a practice that the Jews were forbidden to take part in, but somehow by looking into charting of the stars, if that is something that was truly known to them, they seemed to be able to map out different things, and they followed it, and they seemed to make decisions in life by the way the stars were aligned and everything like that. But to the Jews, this was a forbidden practice. Yet if it was true that they were astrologers and astronomers, God used that practice to draw them to himself. What about this star? What was it? Again, there's much speculation. I could ask you, what do you think the star was? Anyone? A comet? Anyone else? What's that? A real star. Okay? Now, I hope you're not disappointed. I don't have an answer this morning. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, there's a number of things that I thought about. You know, when you look at the star, and I thought, well, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, and peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. You know, for some people, some scientists say it was Saturn and Jupiter aligning. They were lined up in the sky, and it made it look like an incredibly bright star. Others say a nova, a newborn star that burned exceedingly bright for a short time. Some say a comet, such as many of you were saying there. But here it is. I think the amazing thing is, if scientists could come to a point of agreement, they would still know less about the star than the wise men if they didn't recognize that it was more than a cosmic phenomenon. It just wasn't something, it wasn't just a great display that was there for a time and left. There was a purpose. It was a sign that could lead men and women to Christ. The wonder of the star was not in its own existence, but the one it was heralding. And that is Christ Jesus. And so this morning, in a few moments, we try to have a bit of a background where you've got these magi, these men who have traveled a great distance. There's been some sort of sign in the night sky that has caught their attention. And I, you know what, I gotta admit, I love going out on a clear night and watching and looking at the heavens. Some of you during your lifetime would remember a number of times when there was comets that were present for an extended period of time. I remember a comet Kohoutek and Hale-Bopp and even Halley's Comet when they were there, and there was a fascination to see this sort of little tail, light with its tail behind it. And, on a clear night, it was fascinating. And yet when we look at that, they're come and gone with really, to me, not much purpose except that they've drawn some attention to itself. And that was not the attention, that was not God's intention with the star. If you want to ask me what the star was, the light that they were following, the star, I believe that it was a specially created star for that occasion. Not something that could be duplicated, that's what I believe. You can choose what you believe, but I know this, that the wise men not only had eyes to see the star as a sign, they also had the courage to follow the sign until they found Christ. Now, why would I say courage? Well, whose courts are they going into? King Herod. Do we know anything about Herod? Bad guy? Bad guy? To the point where if you looked at his family history, Herod's family were notorious for killing each other. They were a paranoid clan. And there was a number of them that reigned. And I wonder how they slept at night, because it seemed like they were always looking out in case someone was going to overtake their throne. Now, we've talked about this group of men, and I do believe that there's a certain amount of courage that followed this compelling urge for them to check out what they'd seen. But when they traveled, they went through foreign lands, okay? And I don't know much of the history about that, but, you're going through believing and hoping that you're going to have free access. You're not going to meet up with hostile groups. And there were several living during that time. If you look at the Old Testament, there were all sorts of tribes around that were willing to cause different trouble. So you've got this courage. But to go into Herod's presence, to enter into Bethlehem and start asking around, going, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So they're going around and they're asking this question. They're asking this question to everybody, and word is traveling through this town. Word is traveling through Bethlehem. Word gets back to Herod, and he heard about this, and he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Again, I've said this in past years, when Herod's not happy, nobody's happy. And so here you have these wise men that are following, and they come and they say, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Why is this a threat to Herod? Because Herod was recognized as being king of that area. He was a client king. The power in Rome had seen this area come under their power. And so he was very much what they would call a client king that was controlling that area. He sort of had Rome's seal of approval. The Senate had said, okay, you're king of that area. So that's his position of power and authority. And these men come in saying, where is he who's born king of the Jews? And immediately there's a threat. I think, there are questions that probably need to be quietly asked. There needs to be investigations for your own good that you don't make public, and this was one of them. But still, it seems that there was something about these men that were driven, and they were going to find out, no matter what it took, to find out where the one who is born king of the Jews is born. So Herod hears about this. He called together the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. We know the story. Herod calls the Magi and says, this is where he's to be born. He's finding all the exact times of the stars appearing, that, and then he says to the Magi, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship. We know that that was not Herod's intention. Herod would want to snuff out any opposition or threats to his throne. Here's the thing that came alive to me today. Who go to check out Bethlehem? Who? the wise men. The wise men. And it was one of those things this morning that hit me, that Herod calls the chief priests together and the teachers of the law, and they say he's born in Bethlehem, but I don't see anything written here that says they went searching out. And I thought, isn't that incredibly odd that they wouldn't want to investigate? And then, of course, you remember John's words where Jesus came onto his own and they didn't recognize him. But all who believed in him, believed the name of Jesus, they received him and believed in him. And they were called children of God. That was one of the things that made me wonder this morning. How is it possible that we could have that written right there in the scrolls of the prophets, and there wasn't a response to it? And God said to me, he said, Mo, it's written right there for you too. Where's your wonder? Where's your response in worship? Where's your hunger to seek after God? The Magi go. And they go and they search and they find where the child is. Probably by this time, most biblical scholars believe that Jesus might have been approaching 2 years of age, and they were living in a home at that time. But they go and they worship. They go and they worship and they bow down and they give their gifts. And I think this is an important thing for us to remember this morning. When we look at the scriptures, when we look at what God is doing here, and when we see what God continues to do, when we understand his passionate love for each of us, our response is a call to worship. There's a wonder there. There's a wonder that leads us to the point of worship. They gave their gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And I'm not sure what your gift is this morning, but your number one gift, I think, that God desires of us is our worship, our praise. And so this morning, we've looked at this journey, and there's a lot of questions that remain unanswered, or at least they're mysteries. Where'd they come from? What was the star? Where did they go afterwards? But the one thing that remains constant is that though those are a mystery, the wonder of the moment was when a star pointed to the one who would be the redemption of the world. And his name is Jesus. That is the thing about the wonder of the star, is that the star did not bring attention. It brought a certain amount of attention to itself, but it was an attention that was focusing and shining down and pointing to the one who had been born, Emmanuel, God with us. Again, may we not get caught up in the wonder of the star with its own existence, but may we be focused on the one it was heralding. I think we need to know that some of the things of God will remain a mystery to us. The wise men not only had the eyes to see the star as a sign, they also had the courage to follow the sign until they found Christ, and then they worshiped. And so this morning, looking at the newborn king of the Jews, this did not sit well with Herod. We would see that the wise men would be led away, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. I think one of the other things, too, that the story shows me, it reminds me of the words of Simeon. Simeon was in the temple the day that Jesus was presented there on the eighth day. When he was at the temple, it says that Simeon was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for what the law required of, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, the light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." Again, born in Judea, king of the Jews. And yet when I read the scriptures it seemed that some of the first people to have come and worship him were Gentiles. They were aliens. God's love is for everyone. And that is a wonderful thing. God's love is awesome. It's amazing. And he has revealed, the Father has revealed his love to us in its fullness in Jesus Christ. So to these Gentiles, God used a star. To the Jews, God would continue to use his word. And to us, may we be a people that are led by a wonder that calls us to worship. I believe in all my heart that one of the privileges we have in worshiping our God is we have a God that remains mysterious in certain ways. Mysterious in that it is impossible for us to define God. It is impossible for us to put God in a box. It leaves us that room to wonder about the fullness of his character. I don't want a God who's in a box. I don't want to know a God who I can define and I know all about. He's infinite. I'm not. And that makes me wonder more about him. The wonder, it should be at the core of our worship. This is not a Christmas song, but it was a song that I just absolutely love because I think it brings us to the point of wonder and explains a lot of things when it comes to man and how skeptical people can be. It says, I stood and watched an eagle fly, spread his wings and soar across the sky. So gracefully he flew, rising effortlessly. I wanted to know just how to be free. Tiny fingers curled round mine, perfectly formed, newborn, the image of two. Infinite mystery. I wanted to know where life comes. What human intellect can't sway must be explained away. Earth, wisdom, religions of men. Search without end to feel the spirit house within. Simplicity of God somehow escapes them. I reach for the eternal one, creation he was waiting to reveal, his purpose in me. He said, this is where life begins. I made your spirit to glide on the wind. By the ministry of God's Holy Spirit, may our eyes be opened to the fullness of our Savior. May our eyes be open to the wonder of worship that he deserves to be worshiped with. May our wonder come anew, be refreshed. And again, may we be reminded that there are things in this world that we will look at, and it's not in their existence that we should be awed. It's in the one who's created them. The star was an act of God, and it pointed to God. To him be the glory. Amen.